shield policy or something like that. And there is some concern on the court that bringing in additional department into the self-funded plan could possibly put additional burden on the county self-funded plan. Because again, with a self-funded plan, the county is actually paying for medical claims. It is not an outside insurance company. And so the more claims that are turned in, the more cost to the county. And so the question was, can the county avoid the responsibility of allowing juvenile probation to become part of our health plan because of the fact that we are a self-funded plan? Everyone is in agreement, and our county attorney presented what he believed was evidence that it is our obligation to provide or make available that health insurance, but we wanted to know if the fact that we are self-funded changed that. And then secondly, if we did not allow them to be part of our self-funded health insurance plan, whether or not we could purchase a Blue Cross Blue Shield policy or a similar policy that would not be a self-funded plan. In other words, it would be a standalone plan that would have no cost increases to the county other than premium increases. I did finally hear back from Texas Association of Counties, and he spent quite a bit of time on this. Here is what he had to tell me. Yes, we do need to be sure that the juvenile probation department is provided with health insurance. And there is nothing about being self-funded that relieves us of that obligation. But neither did he find anything that told him it would not be appropriate for us to purchase a Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or similar policy that was not a part of our self-funded plan, as long as it had the same or better benefits. So he's not saying you can do it. He's not saying you can't do it. He just didn't find anything that said you absolutely couldn't make a purchase for them that resulted in insurance coverage but was not part of our self-funded plan.
Is that's only seven people?
Actually, it's six right now.
Six. And if we if they were on our self-funded plan, is there someone else like the adult probation people? Are they the same class as the juvenile?
No, this is the only issue we have here that we have a responsibility is just the juvenile probation, the folks that are up on the third floor.
I thought we had decided we wasn't going to do anything until our insurance policy came due, and then we'd decide whether we was going to put them on or buy a policy for them.
Well, the main thing
we're doing now, what are we doing now?
Well, I wanted to tell you what I found out from Texas Association of Counties, that you do have some flexibility. In other words, I don't think that we're rigidly obligated to do one or the other. I do see some opportunity if you wanted to pursue purchasing a third-party insurance company product that would be as good or better benefits. Now, because of the good quality of our insurance plan, it could be more expensive in terms of monthly premium. For example, we currently accrue $750 per month per employee as anticipated cost for our county employees. To duplicate that kind of coverage on the open market might be $1,000 a month, for example. The advantage is you wouldn't have the fear of a large claim cropping up that could cost you significantly more than the $9,000 that we allocate each year per employee. That would be the burden of Blue Cross or Aetna or whoever it was that you purchased the policy from. I think that it's important that we at least be thinking about a plan so that Jill can plan for her department whether we make a move right now or not. It's going to take a while to investigate additional insurance products that are out there that would provide the same or better coverage.
Well, I'm not ready to make a decision on this today. I'd rather wait till we get closer to renewing ours and do it all at the same time. be what I would prefer.
Okay. Anyone else, question or comment?
Carl?
Janine?
Has there been a feasibility study from the insurance industry on the cost effectiveness? An actuarial study would give you an idea of what you're up against in comparison for the plan that's in place?
The answer is no. We have not.
I would recommend that you just look at what you've got. It's going to be part of what you have to do.
Well, we've got a consultant that works for us, CAPS Insurance. We're extremely satisfied with what they've done for us thus far. The only decision we're talking about here is whether we allow some more folks to join into this company-wide self-funded plan.
Judge, I think our plan is to have, I think we talked to them today to find out when CAPS could sit down with us and do our summer review.
Sometime in June, maybe?
Yeah, I think it's June 13th and 14th are the dates that they've tentatively given us. So that should give us plenty of time to look at that. I think there's some other area options we want to look at.
That'll be a planning session where we discuss changes, yes or changes no, to our plan that will begin the first of October. 2014. Not is it October?
No, it's actually January 1st.
Calendar year,
yes.
Isn't it? But yes. a lot of that research that we had to rush,
right.
We'll have plenty of time. We'll have 6 months to be
That's
able
correct.
To shop and get the absolute best deal that we can.
Yes.
All right. You want to put that in the form of a motion?
I'll make that into a motion.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Hockaday to table this matter pending the planning process for the county-wide insurance.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton.
Aye.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And I'm going to vote no on that one. All right. Item passes. Next item, number 9, consider and possibly approve a Titus County hiring policy. We visited this, and I know you thought we had this taken care of last time, but it was brought to my attention, and I'm in agreement that there's a couple of words that we need to adjust. But before I do that, I'm going to ask Sheriff Ingram to come up and share with me the request that you would like to see us make a part of this policy. And you and I have talked, and I'm in total agreement with you, but I wanted you to share what your feelings were with the commissioners.
Okay, let me give you more than just my feelings. What I did is took the liberty to call the Texas Workforce Commission. What they did is they directed me to the Office of Commissioners for the Texas Workforce Commission. And what they said is that, because I believe the question was, if we have an opening internal, do we need to advertise that or fill it, you know, internally and then advertise when you're through? And what they said is there's absolutely no need to advertise an internal position unless you want to do that if you don't have someone you feel that's inside that's capable of filling it that has a qualification. So they said that the law is like that for a reason to, you know, people inside that's been there, that's worked hard so they can move up. But definitely, when you get to that point where you've got it all filled and you have to hire from the outside, that's when you need to be careful and make sure you do everything correctly and advertise it right and make sure that you do everything according to the Fair Standards Act.
So to simplify that, if you've got you have a position that becomes open, somebody leaves or retires or whatever, in a position that requires specific job capabilities, and you have an internal person who is eligible for promotion, you would like to not require that job be posted as we are discussing here, but instead allow you to promote that internal person into that
right.
position. If that results in an empty space after however many promotions you're making, then you will utilize the newspaper, bulletin
correct.
Boards,
yes,
et cetera.
Yeah. And we'll use the newspaper. We also put openings on our website. And also we use the Texas Workforce Commission to help us do that too, to make sure that we're doing everything correctly, so.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you. I want to, I'm looking for my copy of the one where I had some, here it is, I got it. Let me read to you what we had in here before. We made just one change last time. We changed a may to a shall, but let me tell you what we ended up with. Here's what we ended up with at the last meeting. Announcements for job openings with Titus County shall include, but not be limited to, advertisements in the local paper, registration with the TWC, or posting with the Titus County Bulletin Board. In other words, we gave you a choice of three. Whichever of the three or two or one you wanted to utilize, you could do nothing more than post this on a county courthouse bulletin board. I think that the intention was, or at least I hope the intention was, my intention was that more than just the county bulletin board would be utilized, the newspaper as a bare minimum. And so let me, this is a suggested rewording of what I'm thinking, but we can reword it however you so choose if you want to make any change at all. Announcements for job openings with Titus County shall include, but not be limited to, advertisements in local newspapers and postings on the Titus County bulletin boards. Newspaper advertisements shall run for a minimum of 2 times during a 7-day period. Job openings may be registered with Workforce Solutions Northeast Texas, but that would not be a requirement. But as a bare minimum, there would be 2 ads run in the newspaper, and the job would be posted on the county bulletin boards. That would be my suggestion to cause an open position to be advertised at least in the newspaper and on the bulletin boards, and optionally with Texas Workforce Commission.
Judge, how are you incorporating
what the
internal promoting?
That needs to be added to it, but I wanted to keep that separate from so that we could focus on what the change was here. In addition to that, I would add something like job openings for which an internal promotion is appropriate need not be advertised. Well, there's nothing in this policy that requires you to hire somebody that you interviewed. If you've got somebody that you really like and has worked for you before, and that's who you end up hiring, as long as you have advertised it and looked at available talent out there that applies for the job, who knows? You might find somebody that you like better, you may not, but there's nothing in this policy that obligates you to hire any specific person. That ultimately is your decision. So that in answer to your question, that's what I think. If we're going to do this way, I think we ought to do it all the time that way. Yes, it does add additional burden, and as we discussed before, I certainly didn't advertise for a restaurant job every time I had an opening. If I had somebody that I heard about or a friend of a friend or a friend of an employee that recommended them, that was the easy way to go, but I'm not running my own business anymore. I'm running a county business, and I think that we owe it to the folks of the county to let them know about these jobs, and so that's why I like that change. So again, you can leave it the way that we approved it at the last meeting. You can accept this recommendation. You can revise it any way that you so choose.
Up a position, it some point in time, that lower position, there will not be anybody there to fill that, and you can fill out. I don't have a good problem with that.
But that, then, would you, are you adding that, Brian?
I'm, right now, I'm just jotting in some notes on what to add here for the sheriff's recommendation. Job openings for which there is an available in-house promotion need not advertise, need not be advertised. Jeanine, hang on just a second. Okay with that? You want me to read it back? Job openings for which there is an available in-house promotion need not be advertised.
I make a motion we adapt this policy.
Okay, you want me to read it one more time?
Is that
the one with the revision on it? I think
today,
it is.
That you did today.
Okay, I'm going to read it one more time. Announcements for job openings with Titus County shall include, but not be limited to, advertisements in local newspaper and posting on the Titus County Courthouse Bulletin Board. Newspaper advertisements shall run for a minimum of 2 times during a 7-day period. Job openings may be registered with Workforce Solutions Northeast Texas. Job openings for which there is an available in-house promotion need not be advertised. Would that be the version that you're making a motion for?
Yes.
Mr. Riddle, can I have a motion by Commissioner Riddle? I will second it. All those in favor of this revision say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
All right, thank you. Thank you. All right, item number 10, consider and possibly approve the addition of one camera in the district courtroom B to be paid out of the security fund. And Paul, there's Paul. At the last meeting, we approved the addition of 3 cameras, 2 of which were outside. In the parking lot. Where was the other one?
One was in the break room.
One was in the break room. And after Paul looked at it again, he decided, you know what, we really ought to, and I think you had some comments
about
that. Well,
the bailiff in courtroom B had approached me shortly after that and indicated to me, although we had cameras going into courtroom B, we didn't have one actually in it. And so we wanted to fix that problem while Dennis was over there. Got Dennis to give us a bid, $510 to add that additional camera. He's already doing the memory cards, so there's no additional cost there, and he's already there installed in the other, so we wanted to get him to take care of that while he was there.
Okay.
I'll make a motion, Judge.
Motion by Commissioner Hockaday and second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor of the expenditure of $510 to add on as a 4th camera in that camera add-on job, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, item number 11, consider and possibly approve the hiring of James Webster as purchasing director, business manager. William White is retiring at the end of this month, and we began the process of advertising, collecting resumes, and we got 30 application resumes in. We went through those, we conducted interviews, and last Monday there was a unanimous decision that we make this selection. Now, since that time, there has been some additional discussion. I know that Nigel, you have requested to be heard. If you'd like to step up now and address the court on this.
Good evening. I'd like to talk about whether the Commissioner's Court actually has the authority to hire somebody to do their purchasing. I'd like to draw your attention to the local Texas Local Government Code, Section 262.011.
And I've given you copies of this. This is mine, but you should.
Which is entitled Purchasing Agents. The idea of checks and balances is a very fundamental part of the Texas, the U.S. Constitution, and our whole way of government. And as far as I can see, there are two clear checks and balances that are intended by the Texas Constitution and the local government code in terms of commissioners' courts. One of them is the county auditor position, which is Mr. Johnson. The other is a purchasing agent. Unfortunately, in the law here, the word may is used rather than shall, which opens up a big can of worms, which I would like to discuss with you. In section 262.011, it says, a board composed as provided by this subsection by majority vote may appoint a suitable person to act as the county purchasing agent. In a county with a population of 150,000 or less, which would be us, the board is composed of the judges of the district courts, which would be Judge Woodson and Judge Ralston, and the county judge, which is obviously Judge Lee. And it says that it's that board that has the authority to hire a purchasing agent. It also goes in this next section, it talks that the purchasing agent must post a bond of $5,000. It says the county purchasing agent shall purchase all supplies, materials, and equipment required or used, and contract for all repairs of property used by the county or a subdivision officer or employee of the county, except purchases and contracts required by law to be made on competitive bid. It states very clearly here, a person other than the county purchasing agent may not make the purchase of the supplies, materials, etc. Also says the county purchasing agent shall supervise all purchases made on competitive bids. Later on it says that the county auditor may not draw and the county treasurer may not honor an electronic transfer, check, or warrant for a purchase unless the purchase is made by the county purchasing agent or on a competitive bid as provided by law. There's a couple of other sections that might come into play if we have a person in this position. It talks about the county purchasing agent shall file with the county auditor and each member of the board that appoints the county purchasing agent an inventory of all the property on hand and belonging to the county and each subdivision officer and employee of the county. Then there's a section in entitled to prevent unnecessary purchases, the county purchasing agent with the approval of the commissioner's court shall transfer county supplies, materials, and equipment from a subdivision department officer or employee of the county that are not needed or used to another subdivision, and so on. Later on it talks about a person including an officer, agent, or employee of the county or of a subdivision or department of a county commits an offence if the person violates this section. An offence under this subsection is a misdemeanor punishable by a fine of not less than $10 or more than $100. Each act in violation of this section is a separate offence, which means if you want to take the number of purchase orders issued and multiply it by 10, that could be, even with $10, that could be a pretty big number. I know that you have checked with the Texas Association of Counties and they're saying that, or they're advising you that you think that the Commissioner's Court does have the authority to hire somebody to do purchasing, albeit under another title. But I would suggest before you go any further that between you and the district judges, you get a firm ruling from the Attorney General's office or find an existing such ruling so that this position is filled in the appropriate way. I mean, just remember, gentlemen, the idea is that there's somebody keeping an eye on you, not somebody that you like just filling in a position. It's not intended to be like that way, as best I can tell. Thank you.
Thank you, Nigel. If you'll make it brief, yes, sir.
Just, I only know what I kind of read the papers. I've never been to one of these meetings before, because I mean, thank you for having it tonight. So, I just read the paper. Well, my name is Al Rupp.
Yeah, just point that up a little better.
Resident of Titus County. And I just know, no offense to Mr. Webster or this position, I don't know who Mr. Webster is, but I just, what I read in the paper when you discussed it the last time was that he had a person retire. And in my business, which is education, one of the best and easiest ways to reduce expenses is to absolve the retirement. When teachers retire, they usually are at the top of, they're making a lot of money, they're at the top of the scale, they retire, you pinch in, you cut here and there, maybe you make the increase the class size from 20 to 22, you need one less teacher, you don't replace the teacher. And then you cut the cost, which is at the top of the scale. Here, what I read in the paper last time was that the idea was presented to not fill the position. It sounded like a good idea to me. I don't know why it would be a bad idea to not fill the position now and go ahead and for 6 months or 9 months or whatever you feel is necessary, all right, until you get a feel for whether you can do without it or not. If that point in time comes where, hey, it doesn't work, we need somebody to do this, right, and hire somebody, right? But if 6 months, 9 months down the road, it comes, hey, we're getting along, we're doing pretty well without this, all right, then you went and saved yourself a bunch of money. And I've noticed in government that not very often do we gather together and we see how we can reduce government. We can spend less money. I know in my business, there's a lot of places we can spend less money in education, but we never do because you people are fooled. You think that when you spend more money, that means better education, but it doesn't. I just threw that in. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Burkhalter. And we did have that discussion. And those points were brought up, so you see it like a couple of the votes on this court saw it, but unfortunately, unfortunately, as it turns out, it was a 3-2 vote in favor of going ahead and replacing that particular position. But nonetheless, thank you for your comments. Nigel, thank you for your comments, and I must tell you that when I first read this, and after my first couple of conversations, I completely supported that idea that, oops, we've gotten ahead of ourselves by filling this position. This really should be an appointed position. I have asked for the help of Texas Association of Counties and the office of Allison Bass, attorneys out of Austin, that we contacted specifically about this, and they did provide us with an attorney general's opinion that does address this specifically. And after reading that, after talking with Mr. Coburn, our county attorney, after talking with Carl Johnson, I agree, there's not a definitive white-black area here. I still think it's somewhat of a gray area, but based on this attorney general's opinion and our conversations with the attorney that represents Texas Association of Counties, I'll just read to you a couple of highlights out of this attorney general's opinion, and they asked a few questions, but specifically this conclusion. We conclude that the commissioner's court is authorized without express statutory authority to employ persons necessary to conduct county business, provided such employees are subject to the control and supervision of the commissioner's court, and there is no delegation of the commissioner's court's sovereign authority. The commissioner's court has implied authority to employ persons necessary to carry out county business derived from its express constitutional authority to exercise such powers and jurisdiction over all county business as is conferred by the Constitution. We conclude that the commissioner's court may hire an employee to assist the commissioner's court and other departments with their purchasing responsibilities, but it may not delegate to the employee authority to make purchases for the county or to enter into contracts binding on the county. A couple other highlights here. It may hire an employee to perform the clerical duties required or necessary in connection with county purchasing. In other words, the commissioner's court must determine the items and services to be purchased and bind the county for the payment of those items and services. Carl, I'm going to call on you now to kind of give us some differences between the classic purchasing agent and the function of our business manager, purchasing director, purchasing agent, whatever you call the position that Mr. White is retiring from. And give me, like you gave me today, the specific things that make us somewhat different than a full-blown purchasing agent.
Right. Well, we're not hiring a purchasing agent. If we were hiring a purchasing agent under the statutory authority of the state, then he would be the one that went out and bought the product, approved purchasing the product, and all those different items. We're just hiring somebody to do clerical work, as is stated in here. Mr. White did not have the authority to bind the county to anything.
Yeah.
He would search for prices. He would issue the POs, which could have been issued from my office or his office, or if we wanted to let the county clerk issue the POs, they could have issued the POs. But he was just doing clerical duties. Every purchase that the county makes has to be approved by the commissioner's court, and it is. It's on the agenda here today for y'all to approve the bill. It also has to be approved by my office. That's how it's done. There's a question of whether you want someone in Mr. White's position to do that work, or as they mentioned earlier, we had the option of taking those duties and spreading them out maybe among some other people that were already working. That's a different issue, but we're not hiring a purchasing agent.
Okay. I did provide you, gentlemen, with a copy of the local government code that Mr. Christopher was referring to. It's these two pages here under subchapter B, purchasing agents. I'd like for you to read that one more time. Be sure that based upon what you've heard here today, what Carl has just told you, what I've read to you out of this Attorney General's opinion, that you are comfortable that hiring the position that we are proposing does not fall under this requirement of section 262.011.
Judge,
sir.
I'm really not concerned what their opinion is. I'm concerned what district judges think.
Thank you.
Because it's their authority that you are attempting to undermine them.
You want to comment on that? I know I'm catching you off guard.
I read the statute, and of course it does use the word thing. I talked to Nice about that, and I pointed that out, that it's a discretionary term, not a mandatory term. So if you got an AG's opinion that talks about constitutional authority and the implied authority of the commissioner's court, I got on the bell bond board. I was mandated to be on that board, but that's enough for me.
Thank you.
Judge, I'm going to make a motion we hire James Webster as our business manager.
Motion by Commissioner Hockaday.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of the approval of the hiring of James Webster for purchasing director, business manager, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No. And one no by Commissioner Riddle. All right. Thank you, everyone, for your comments there. Item number 12, consider and possibly approve travel and seminars for Titus County employees and elected officials. Dig down through my pile. Oh, there it is. Thank you. All right, the first item is a request by myself. This is to attend probate training June 6th and 7th in Galveston, Texas. This is developmental training, although it is not mandatory, this particular class, although it does add to my requirement for continuing education. Again, the dates of training are June 6th and 7th. Galveston, I will travel on the 5th and the 7th. Cost of registration for this event is $350, $120 worth of per diem meals. Cost of the hotel, $240 for two nights. Total cost of travel on a per mile basis, 614 miles, would be $346.91. The total approximate cost of this, $1,056.91. This training is only offered in two places. I was unable to attend the other one, although it was the same price and the hotel was more, but the travel is more here. Second item is from our district clerk, Deborah Abston, would like to attend the 118th annual CDCAT conference in San Antonio, June 16th through 20th. She will ask for a registration fee of $250, per diem meals, $200, total cost of hotel, $495. She'll drive her personal vehicle, 780 miles round trip for a total cost of $1,381.82. She indicates yes, mandatory. All right, in the sheriff's office, Sergeant Carlock and his canine assistant would like to attend canine certification in Hillsborough. This is mandatory training of May 22nd, 3rd, and 4th. $500 registration, total cost of meals, $180. Total cost of hotel, $158 for the two nights. He'll travel in a county vehicle. His total cost, $738.20. Lieutenant Terry McDowell would like to attend TASER instructor course recertification. Mandatory training in Henderson, Texas, May 24th, $175 registration fee. No cost of meals, no cost of hotel. Use a county vehicle. $175 plus his fuel cost. That's all I have. Motion by Commissioner Fields to approve travel and seminars budget requests. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All in favor say aye. And that's approved. Opposed? Item number 13, approve oral and written reports. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday for approval. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approving oral and written reports, say aye. Opposed? Item number 14, consider and possibly approve treasurer's report. Thank you. Motion by Commissioner Hinton for approval. Second by Commissioner Hockaday. All in favor of approval of the treasurer's report, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Any budget amendments?
No.
No budget amendments. Item number 16, signed pay orders and approved payments.
Make a motion to pay our bills.
Motion by Commissioner Hockaday to approve the bills for payment. Second by Commissioner Hinton. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, item number 17, closing comments. I'll start on far left, Commissioner Hockaday.
I don't have any, sir.
Commissioner Hinton.
Checked on the bridge on County Road 3250. They're doing the dirt work around to put the riprap on. It's coming along real nice.
Okay.
Hopefully this next month they'll have it opened up.
Okay. All right. All I would say is thank you all for showing up tonight. Might want to bring a chair next time. We'll meet again in the morning at the next meeting 2 weeks from now, or 3 weeks from now. And then we will not have our next evening meeting until the latter part of May. But thank you for taking the time. Commissioner Fields?
Cleanup this week ended. I think overall it was successful. We did have a few things that went kind of stray a little bit. We had to have some people put on the tires and things like that that should have been in there. Of course, when they get to the duck ground area, they touch those out and pick them up. I took them out to the central park. But besides that, overall, it really went well. I was very pleased with quite a few cleanup areas. People left them very clean. We did try signs 1 year, but somebody threw their signs in the dumpster, so we lost our signs. But anyway, overall, it really helps the county. It makes Titus County a more cleaner place and a more desirable place to live. I appreciate all the people and everybody that picked up the whole county.
Commissioner Riddle? Let's see, it was last week on Thursday, I believe, we had an all-day security presentation at the county extension office, and lots of our county department heads attended. It was an excellent presentation talking about suggestions for improving security on all property within the county. He had a lot of good practical recommendations, and we'll discuss those some more, Chris, as we look at those plans for integrating some of those ideas. But it's unfortunate that we are where we are these days. Things will be considerably less convenient for court property access, but nonetheless, the prudent thing to do. So we're grateful to have had that free seminar we were able to attend. If there's nothing else, I'll attend a motion to adjourn. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday to adjourn.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Fields. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Thank you and good night. I'm going to give him one of mine because I can.
What are you?
What would you?
Bye.